Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. There are so many different ways to generate revenue, but when we're thinking about 6-figure potential, there are just fewer ways to make that happen. But one of the methods that has proven time and time again to work is drop shipping. So if you're wondering how exactly do I make 6 figures from drop shipping, what even is drop shipping? We are going to explore all of that in today's episode. So today's guest, he is the founder of the Dropship Lifestyle course, which Shopify voted as the best e-commerce course. Over 10,000 students from over 25 countries have taken part in the course, and Dropship Lifestyle's mission is to give students the knowledge and tools necessary to create freedom through entrepreneurship by leveraging the power of drop shipping. There are a lot of really powerful case studies and testimonials up on that website, which we will include in the show notes, dropshiplifestyle.com. But today's guest for episode 288 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Anton Crailey. Anton, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Mark. It's going to be fun.
It's really great to have you on the show, and dropshipping is definitely a topic we have not covered as much on Breakthrough Success, so I'm really looking forward to giving you guys this new angle, new opportunity that you guys should know about for making 6 figures. Before we do that, though, can you just share a little bit of the backstory? Why did you get into dropshipping? What was the initial parts of your journey like?
Sure. Yeah. So I actually got started with importing. Well, I got started by selling cookies online, so that's a whole different story. But back in 2007, I built my first ever e-commerce website. It was called NewYorkCookieShop.com. And after doing that for a few months, I started to think, well, if I could sell $20 boxes of cookies, why can't I sell $1,000 items? So started to do my research online, bring in different products from China back then. And after doing that for a few years, companies actually started to reach out to my websites and say, hey, we see you're selling these products. Do you want to sell ours also? And that's when they introduced me to the world of dropshipping through basically brands reaching out to my existing stores.
And I mean, part of that dropshipping is you having those relationships in place with the other suppliers. And I feel like for someone who is just getting started, could feel a little overwhelming. I don't feel like I could be wrong on this, but people have different opinions. Like dropshipping, like what to do may not be as straightforward as like just producing a lot of content. And I know suppliers is a big part of that. So can you just walk us through how do we find the best suppliers and the approach for that?
Definitely. Yeah, because dropshipping really is it's a very high level term. It's a very broad term. So probably the same as content marketing, right? There could be a lot of different things to do within content marketing. And with dropshipping, it's the same thing. All it really means is basically someone is fulfilling orders for your business. So even if you sold something on Craigslist, and let's just say I listed a desk on Craigslist, and then the person said, okay, I want to buy this. And I said, okay, my neighbor's going to deliver it to you. Technically, that would be dropshipping. And what you find a lot of now, if you're going on Google and looking up dropshipping or going on YouTube and looking up dropshipping, you're finding a lot of people talking about it as if the only way to do it is to find products for cheap from China and then, you know, put up a Shopify store, make a bunch of Facebook ads and sell products that way. And while that still is dropshipping, in my opinion, that is not a sustainable strategy, especially now with how things are happening with tariffs, but even before that. So, you know, when it comes comes to suppliers, who are the good ones, and how to get those relationships, the companies you want to work with are ones that you don't, they don't call themselves dropshippers. They're different companies that focus on making great products and then looking for companies like us and like other online retailers to bring them sales. So an example would be if I wanted to sell stand-up desks, I wouldn't just go online and look up dropship stand-up desks. That's the even though it makes sense logically, that's the total wrong way to do it. Instead, I'd want to go online and look for things like best stand-up desks and stand-up desk manufacturers. And from there, I would reach out to those companies and try to sell their products. So basically to be a retailer for other companies that are already making really high quality items.
And that is a really interesting approach where, I mean, I've heard a lot of this has a strong focus on buying stuff from China really cheap. Like, that is a theme that I've gotten. Now, mm-hmm. I haven't done any drop shipping, you're like, this is coming from a complete newbie, doesn't really know much about drop shipping, but that is the thing I've heard a lot.
Yes.
That approach. So it's interesting you mentioned reach out to these quality manufacturers and see what you can do with those people. So definitely something really interesting. I'm sure Google search can really help you there. But how exactly does this scale up to six figures? And I mean, you mentioned without Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. So how does this turn into six figures and how do we get those people?
So it actually scales up relatively fast once you figure things out in terms of traffic. And reason being is something else that we focus on at Dropship Lifestyle and with our stores is selling these more expensive products. So our average order value for most of our stores is over $1,000, and you know, that adds up fast. So where it used to be, I would sell boxes of cookies online and again make $20 gross profit per sale or revenue. You know, it would take a long time to hit big numbers, but then as we shifted kind of more and more upstream, you know, you get three sales a day with a website with an average order value of $1,000, only three orders a day, you're already well over seven figures in revenue for the year. So with profit margins, that's a different story. We try to maintain about a 30% net margin, but you know, that means a $1 million store is making you about 300K take home. And with three sales a day, it's very possible when you're selling more expensive items.
And it's really interesting you mentioned that price difference. And I feel like that's something where it doesn't matter if you're thinking about drop shipping or something else. The moment you raise that price point, you go from selling $20 courses to $1,000 courses. It becomes easier for you to hit all of your income goals because mm-hmm. of the fact that you're just simply charging more for a product. And in drop shipping, it means like creating a completely different product. And content marketing, it can mean significantly buffing one of your products. So there are a lot of different ways to reach that goal, but just having that higher price point is definitely going to make the math a lot easier for you.
Yeah, and it makes the whole business run smoother. So either, like you said, if you were in an info publishing business or if you're selling physical products, when you're making more money per sale, that means that you can have more resources dedicated to your customers. So you can give them a better course if you're publishing, or you can make sure they have a better customer support experience if they're buying your physical product. And it allows you to do things like bring on virtual assistants or pay for pieces of software that help to automate certain parts of your business. So it just changes everything. When you're working on making a few bucks net profit per sale, it's very hard to give customers something of value. And the only reason companies still can do it is because the ones that do it successfully just do it at massive scale. But for the solopreneur or the person with a small team, it's really like a dream that's not often achieved. So you definitely want to have enough room to actually earn money per sale, no matter what it is you're offering.
And that's really interesting you mentioned how the higher price allows you to better serve your audience. And that makes sense because obviously, as you mentioned, more money, you can put it towards different things that create that better experience. You mentioned automation, which I feel like is a big buzzword. A lot of people, when they get into any kind of business, especially online now, they really want to automate as much of it as possible. And I don't believe in full automation. I don't believe you can truly automate something from start to finish, but what are some of the ways that we can automate a little bit of the drop shipping to make it take less time for us and still get the results we want, need?
Yeah. And I 100% agree with that. You definitely hear all the time, especially with the people that are, you know, talking to a very beginner level audience. You hear people say that, oh yeah, you know, you set this up once and make money for life. That's a pipe dream also. But you can get it usually to the point where any task, and this is the way I think about it, any task in your business that has to happen over and over and over, and that happens in a very similar way over and over and over, those can typically be automated. Now, the way that we automate, the first way is ideally to find a tool that already exists online. So that could be with, you know, our email marketing. We use a tool for Shopify called Klaviyo, and that does all of our email marketing for us, and that's automated. We use different tools through Zapier.com, which can get a little more advanced. So I guess it wouldn't make sense to go too deep into it. But with that, we do things like have abandoned cart automations. We have order tracking automations for our customers. We have content distribution automations. So when we publish new content to our blogs, it's automatically getting shared across all of our social platforms in a way that looks native to them. When we have custom order quotes on our websites come in, those automatically get sent to us via a private message on Slack so we can respond to the customer right away. So little things like that, you can, again, something that happens over and over, you can use these tools that just make it happen on autopilot. Now, for the things that change and the things that require a human, that's where instead of automation, we lean towards outsourcing. So those are things like, okay, customer calls in and says, hi, my order number is 12345. I placed my order 3 days ago. Where is it? You can't automate that, but you can have someone on your team that answers phones or that calls people back for, you know, 4 hours a day or whatever it is. So same thing with live chat. You know, there are chatbots now. We've tried them and we've never had as good of experience as you could have with a human. So for those, we still have one of our virtual assistants that handles our chat. So you kind of have to look at the task on a task-by-task basis. And the more it happens, the more often, the more frequently, and the more similar it looks, that's when you move to automate. And then if it does, you know, change and there's too many variables, you can get some really good people. We use onlinejobs.ph for our virtual assistants, and we found some really good talent there.
That's definitely something I recommend to onlinejobs.ph. I definitely use them anytime that I need to find an assistant to help me with a certain repetitive task that comes my way. Definitely recommend them. All those links will be in the show notes, markbrady.com/E288. And I mean, you mentioned the $1,000 product or selling these products that are a little more high end than, say, like your box of cookies, as you referenced earlier. But just because you have a high priced product, obviously, doesn't mean it's going to sell. So how do you find the right niches so that you have this product that sells at a high price, you're able to get sales, but the margin also looks good?
So there's a few different things we look for. A lot of my process is research before you even try to sell anything, because there's no point in doing the work if it's not going to work. But some things that I'll just, you know, give you some easy wins. When we're looking into different product types, we're trying to find things that really the customer has no brand loyalty to. So an example I give, like in dropship lifestyle, would be, you know, if someone hears I should sell expensive products, maybe they think, okay, I should sell tablets because people buy tablets. And they look down and they have an iPad and they think, oh, I could sell iPads or Samsung tablets or the Microsoft Surface. And then the problem with that is that industry, right, that niche of tablets, people have brand loyalty. And because companies spend billions of dollars on marketing certain types, that's not an industry that would work. So an example of an expensive product that people don't care what name is on it would be even, let's just say, like a chandelier, like a big lighting fixture. If someone moves into a new house, they see their chandelier looks old, they want a new one. They don't have like, I need an Apple chandelier or a Microsoft chandelier. They just want, yeah, they want, you know, they want a certain size, color, amount of bulbs. So that would make the start of a good product type, something they can go on Google, find something that looks good, they'll buy it. Beyond that, with margins, which is super important, we look for suppliers who enforce what are known as minimum advertised price policies, MAP, so minimum advertised price. There are, like, basically any legitimate supplier will have these in place. And the way that works is they say, okay, you know, Anton, you're selling this product, MAP is $1,000. And then they say, okay, Mark, you want to sell it too, MAP is $1,000. And then 10 other people sell it, no one can list it for less than $1,000. And what's good about that is it locks in that profit margin. And it also protects the brand's value. But that's how our profits are pretty much guaranteed. Like, we don't have to make up pricing because we sell it for what the supplier says to sell it for. And so does everybody else. So from there, our job is to do better at getting traffic and then do better at getting the visitors to choose us rather than our competitors.
And that traffic is definitely something very important, because you can have this really great product, you can be in the right niche, but you have a lot of people selling it. So traffic definitely being something very important. We're going to talk about that very soon, but we got a quick message for you, so we will be right back. One of the gifts of hosting the Breakthrough Success podcast and creating the content that I do is the ability to impact people as an influencer. I recognized over time that there are a lot of you who with powerful messages that you want to share with the world. And if you are someone who wants to become an influencer to spread your powerful message and impact others through your content, I recommend you join us at the Advanced Influencer Mastermind, where I'll provide weekly training and you'll be part of a supportive community. For being a Breakthrough Success listener, we'll give you the first 30 days free of charge. Just head over to contentmarketingplaza.com/breakthrough to learn more about the mastermind and claim your free 30 days. And now let's jump right back into the episode. All right, and we are back talking about drop shipping. So far, we talked a little bit about building the foundation, having your product, but you have this product that maybe a lot of other people are promoting and you need to get traffic in order to get the sales. So Anton, I'm wondering if you could share with us, how exactly do you drive traffic to your e-commerce store so that you're able to make these sales and hit the six figures?
Yep. So the easiest funnel that works the best and drives most of our sales starts with Google Shopping and an advertising type through Google AdWords, or it's called Google Ads now, but that's called product listing ads. Now, when you advertise with a product listing ad, what happens is when someone goes on Google.com and searches for a product, they will see on top of the normal results, they'll see product images with product names and they'll see product prices. This is an ad type that is perfect. It's made for e-commerce, but it still converts like crazy, because when people click these, again, they already see the image of the product you have to offer. They see it's from an e-commerce store. They see the price. So by the time they click that, again, it's a very qualified click. And that drives most of the people that we get to our website to our website. Now, there is competition there as well, because other e-commerce stores are aware that Google Shopping is a thing. So there's lots of different techniques that we do to optimize our feeds to make sure we're showing up for the right keywords. Really, getting traffic from there isn't the problem. The problem that most people have is getting that traffic to choose them over the other three stores that might be selling the same thing. So a big emphasis on what it is we do is on building trust as soon as people get to our stores. And that's part of how we optimize for conversions. So when you think of it like, okay, I got somebody to my website, they searched for this exact product, they saw the price, then they clicked the link, why would they leave without buying? And it's either because they aren't going to buy it right now, like they're just not going to buy it from anywhere right now, or because they don't think that we're a reputable store. They don't know who we are. So we focus really on our product pages by displaying reviews, collecting reviews as many as possible. If we're brand new, we work with our suppliers to get existing reviews that they already have for their products. We work on doing things like having as many images as we possibly can, high resolution images from all different angles, because these are expensive items. People really want to see it before they buy it. We do things like have bonus offers. So if I was selling a chandelier for $1,500, I might say, when you buy from ourstore.com, we're going to include the free bulbs, $100 value. We're going to give them to you for free. So we do things like that. We also try to make it as easy as possible for consumers to choose us. So instead of just saying, hey, check out with any credit card, we'll say, use any credit card. We also take PayPal. We also take PayPal credit. We also take Amazon Pay, and we take Google Pay, and we take Apple Pay. So a lot of it is just giving your customers options and just trying to like look at your competitors. So the people that are selling the same things, and then looking for their weaknesses and then making their weaknesses your site's strength. And again, like the clicks aren't a problem. The conversions usually are. So those are some of the things we do to get people to choose us.
And I mean, you mentioned something really important, which is looking at competitors. And I mean, some people, like, you have the idea that you're only competing with yourself, or that there's a deep red oceans, or that there's blue oceans. So people have a lot of thoughts about competitors, but in the end, it's good to look at them, because then you can see what are they missing, as Anton mentioned. And like, for a book on Amazon, you have a lot of different competitors that you can easily see. You just type in the keyword and you see a lot of different books, but it's not as straightforward. At least you're going to share us how to make it more straightforward. But basically, I'm wondering, how exactly do we see who our competitors are in dropshipping? Because it's not there's like this www.dropshipping.com or something like that, where you can type in all these keywords. So how do you know and see who your competitors are?
Yeah, so let's just keep going with the chandelier niche. And if I wanted to sell that, I would go on Google Shopping. I would search for chandeliers. So to do that, just go to google.com. And then on the top left of Google, there's different links. One of them says shopping. So go to Google, click shopping, and then search for chandeliers. Now, once I did that, I would look for the most popular ones, which is how it sorts by default. And then I would look for ones in different price points. So let's just say the $1,000 plus. Then what I would do is, it's kind of hard to explain without a visual representation, but when you're looking at those Google shopping results, it will show you the popular chandelier, the picture, the price. Then there'll be a little button that says how many stores are selling it. So it might say from 3 stores. And if you click that, it'll show you what those 3 stores are. And it'll have links to that popular chandelier on those 3 stores. So what I do is open all of those stores in different tabs and then look at them one by one and think, okay, what does this store have that doesn't? What is this one missing that this one has? So it could be things like one of them says free shipping while one of them doesn't mention it at all. One of them might not tell the customer what their estimated arrival date is, and the others might. Maybe they all only have one low resolution image. Maybe they're all using the stock description for the product description that the supplier sent them, where I could easily rewrite it and make it something much more unique and something that sells the product rather than that just list facts about it. So those are the type of things we're doing. Again, google.com, since that's where we get our traffic, is really our friend for finding the other people that are selling these things.
And I mean, it's really, again, really good that you mentioned that competitive analysis, where you are looking for those opportunities like free shipping or certain information that other competitors aren't mentioning. But one of the things I also want to touch upon, I mean, again, if you guys go on Anton's website, you will see a lot of awesome case studies. There are some people who are like very quickly scaling this up to 6 figures, who start with like just like $200, I think was one of your case studies, and then they reach like $100,000. So a lot of really awesome stuff showing you the key thing, what is possible with drop shipping. But then you hear about a lot of people who aren't necessarily making it, or who give up a little too early. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to see success in drop shipping?
Yeah, assuming that you're following something that works, right? Because I really don't think that the whole drop shipping from China method, like, even if you did everything right, I don't know, I would still say chances are it's not going to last. So you might have like a quick little, you know, spurt of success. But as far as like having, if you have the system, right, you have a system to follow and it's proven to work, which I do believe that's what dropship lifestyle is. The reason I think some people just kind of sign up and give up versus people that you said, you know, start with $200 and build something huge for themselves, it's all about discipline, personal discipline, and being able to delay gratification and do work while you're not getting paid. And that sounds crazy, but most people that want to start a business, especially like, you know, building an e-commerce store, they come to us when they've never tried this, right? They've never not just built an e-commerce store, but they've worked a 9-to-5 their whole life, or they've worked a 8-to-6 their whole life. And then what happens is they go to that job, and then I'm basically telling them as their mentor, listen, when you get home, put in an hour a night. Then on your weekends, put in 8 hours a day until this becomes something. And I know that's a huge ask, because people, again, they're exhausted at the end of the day. But if you're really, and then I'm asking them to put in that time to build their own store while they're not getting paid, right? Like, you do the work up front to get the benefits later, but it's hard. I mean, I get it. Like, not that I don't have sympathy for these people, but the people that don't get results and the people that aren't successful, it's not because they really made an effort and then failed, it's because they came home and after a few nights of learning the systems, they thought, oh, a new series is on Netflix and I'm exhausted. Let me just take this night off. And then fast forward 6 months later, what's dropship lifestyle or what's dropshipping? You know, they forgot about it. So that's the key, I think, not just to this, but to anything in life. Like it's hard. It's hard to put in the time and delay gratification.
And that is a really powerful angle to look at things, because you have a lot of people who they will come home and they will want to watch that Netflix series. They will want to just do something else other than drop shipping. And I mean, I know you've helped a lot of people in this area. What do you think? What do you think is the difference between people who say, forget this, I'm going to watch Netflix and then be where I am a month later, and the people who say, okay, I'm home, I'm exhausted, but I'm going to really give this dropshipping thing my best effort. What do you believe is the difference between those two?
I think it's when people really understand why they're doing this and what they want out of it. And one thing that I never thought would be true, but I've seen over and over through the years, is a lot of our really big success stories, when they start this, like, not only are some of them, you know, broke, some of them are in debt, some of them are like desperate. And those are people that if they normally asked me, should I do this, I would say no. I'd be like, listen, get a job, get your stuff together, then do this. But I think because those people have that need, you know, it's like this has to work. They do the work. I don't want to say you have to be broke or desperate to build something of value, but I think that motivation definitely helps people. And just in that same line of thinking, I think whenever people really understand why they're doing this, whether it's because, you know, they don't just not like their job, but maybe they are, you know, I don't know, severely underpaid at work, and maybe they are like mentally or whatever, verbally abused by a manager or something, and like they have this strong why of like I need to do this, then those are the type of things that can help people push through. But just, you know, just saying, I want to make some extra money, I don't think anybody can have that as their why and then sit down and make it happen. You need to really understand what you want out of this and why you want it.
That is a really great point on tapping into your why. And in my experience, I've seen that the less I think about money and connect with my why to something more meaningful, like providing all of you with experts on the Breakthrough Success podcast and helping everyone level up their businesses, when I connect it with the why, something like that, it allows me to produce more meaningful work and end up hitting the results that I've wanted to hit. So really getting conscious on your why. I recommend, even if you think you know what your why is, actually ask yourself again, actually write it down, because that will help you get a lot more clear on why you're doing what you're doing, which will fuel you to hitting your goal. So that why being something very important, especially when you hit some of these challenges within your journey where you're at that crossroads and you got to make the right decision for basically continuing with this activity like drop shipping that does, it doesn't give you instant gratification, but when you do hit the gratification, it's really big. It's just long term. But with challenges in mind, Anton, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many. One thing that like still scares me to this day, when I first started to get into higher ticket products, I still, you know, I was young. I was at that time, maybe I was still 21, maybe I was 22, and you know, was making money from my stores, but also was not by any means like having a safety net or any type of, you know, big amount of cash in the bank. And when I got into high ticket products and started selling more and more expensive ones, did the same thing we're doing now, where we accept credit cards and we also accept PayPal. And what happened with PayPal is once we got about, it was over $50,000 or so that was in our account, got an email from them one day saying, hey, your business doesn't really have a history. This is a lot of money. So we're going to hold it for 6 months. Wow. And yeah, that freaked me out, because, you know, that money, part of it was going to be used to fulfill orders. That was when I was still importing. So I had containers coming in from China and did not have enough cash on my own to float this type of thing. So the lesson that I learned back then was really don't trust PayPal, but, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And like, that's something I could have avoided by withdrawing it from there, putting it in my bank account earlier on. So now, you know, we are more cautious with money. And since then, been lucky enough to have success and have cash reserves, but just have to be really careful, because the saying cash is king is true. So know where your cash is and know if you can get access to it or not, or else it could be really scary and stressful.
That is a really interesting point, knowing exactly where your cash is, because, I mean, if you don't manage it, then you're going to end up feeling like you're doing a good job. Like, if you're running a business that brings in a lot of gross, like, you're going to feel like you're doing a good job, but mm-hmm. maybe your net is negative. I mean, there are people who they gross 300, but they net negative 100. So,
oh, yeah.
You want to know where your money is. That's a very powerful lesson. And another powerful thing I feel like we should all be doing is reading books, because by reading books, we can really educate ourselves on many things. And also, that's going to motivate us and really help us to go to the next level. You hear the phrase leaders are readers over and over again. So with that in mind, Anton, I wonder if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many. Like, the ones people probably read already, but the ones that had the most profound impact on me when I was younger, this is going back like 12 or 13 years, Rich Dad Poor Dad totally changed the way I thought about money. And then The 4-Hour Workweek is the book that introduced me to e-commerce. Since then, some books that I've read more recently that have definitely helped and that I kind of always circle back to. One would be Ready, Fire, Aim. I just love the concepts that are taught in that book. And what's another good one that I've had recently? I think it's called The Big Four. Should Google that to see if that's the right name. The Big Four book.
I think that's, I know it's
The Four, Google. The Four by Scott Galloway. Yeah. Yeah. That was a great book as well.
Well, Anton, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, marketbrain.com/E288. We will also throw in Podcast Domination in there for anyone looking to launch, grow, and monetize their very own show. That will be at marketbrain.com/PD. And before we wrap up this episode, Anton, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Honestly, I think no matter what level of success people are at, they should always take a look and think, not only like take a day of reflection, whether it be every 2 weeks, every month, and ask yourself, am I where I want to be? And more importantly, where do I want to be? Write down where you want to be, whether that be a location, a home, an apartment, whether that be the other side of the world, whether that be in any type of relationship, know where you want to be going, and then check in on yourself and ask yourself, am I moving that direction? Or else it's really easy to get caught up in things and wake up one day and think, what's going on here?
Anton, thank you for coming on the Breakthrough Success Podcast, sharing all of your great insights about drop shipping. For anyone who wants to learn more about Anton, head over to dropshiplifestyle.com. Again, really powerful case studies and testimonials from some of his past students now going on to make six figures. So a lot of awesome stuff there. Anton, is there anything else you want us to know about where we can find you on the web before we conclude this episode?
Yeah, I mean, basically all our stuff is linked up off there. I do have a podcast that's me basically just ranting about random things happening in our business. And that's at ecommercelifestyle.com if anyone wants to check that out.
Anton, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Mark.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgaberti.com/PD.